much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Test 1 2 1 2 test. Testing, testing. Alright, you ready?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1 2 3
Bad boy!
4 5 6
VIG!
Kanye West has been in talks to serve as creative director of the first ever Pornhub Awards.
Okay, for me, first of all, dopeness is what I like the most.
Is that a category? Dopeness? On Pornhub?
Could be one of the awards they're giving out.
Could be. Really could be.
Along with Best DP.
Remember when I found out what that was?
Yeah, I sure do.
Yep.
Although your mom already knew.
What?
Oh my.
What?
What?
You happy with yourself, Bean?
I am now.
I don't know why you're so shocked. People are basically just monsters hiding behind the thin veneer of social convention.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 12th of September.
I had an iTunes malfunction there. I accidentally hit Oh Mama by the Armenian Comedian.
It's so funny. I heard that. I was like, he's playing the Armenian Comedian.
It wasn't on purpose. I hit the theme, and then somehow my hand slipped on the mouse or something like that, and then I started another song, and I don't know. It sounded like they were playing at the same time. It was very confusing.
They were, but I loved it, and I was excited. And then it went away.
And then it went away.
Yeah.
But how, I mean, why would I have Oh Mama?
I'm not positive.
Armenian Comedian in my iTunes. Is that a song I ever need to listen
yes.
to?
Yes.
Okay.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Okay, sorry.
No.
Why is his hand so slippery?
that was my bad. I apologize for that. That's not the way I wanted to start today's show, for sure.
What's that for?
Oh, no.
Why taps?
Yeah, you got it, Allie. You got it.
I'm sorry, Bean.
Well, it's a loss. I'll tell you that. I mean, we were close.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad to lose a good man, but Pablo, ladies and gentlemen, Pablo is no more.
Okay.
I'm sorry, define man?
Moth.
Oh, moth. It was a moth. It wasn't
a
mosquito.
Moth.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Here's what happened. Here's what happened.
Can
at
you
this
look at
point,
it?
Well, I can't. I haven't found him yet. But at this point.
What?
Because when
you
when
don't have any idea if he even went in there.
He was in there. He's
I know
in the
it
fridge.
Looked like that. It I know.
Did. Okay. When a ship goes missing, they are in the search and rescue mode until they're not. And then at some point they call it and they go, okay, now they're going to be declared dead because there's no way they're still alive at this
point. Right, although they're people and this is a moth.
Right, but I'm saying he didn't survive 24 24 hours in a refrigerator
right.
in 35 degrees.
He didn't survive any time in the refrigerator. Because if he was in the refrigerator, you would have found him.
Agree.
I'm just
it's
saying.
It's actually a physical thing. It's science. You would have had to be able to find him.
And you woke up so soon.
Right?
Look.
Pablo's struggling for 24 hours, and you just go, oh, well.
That's a long time in the life of
right?
a little moth slash mosquito. What I'm saying is.
In the life of Pablo. You're
in
right.
the life of Pablo. Thank you, Kanye. What I'm saying is at this point. I'm just calling it. I'm declaring that he is dead.
Wow.
I can't spend all day, every day looking for Pablo at this point.
If I go missing, Kevin, promise me you will not have him head up the search and rescue.
Please.
Good God.
Well, it would depend on the
Pablo's like, that tall, goofy guy will get me at some point. I'm hanging on.
Look, it has to do with how you go. I mean, if you fall into a volcano, Allie, we don't need a week to determine you're dead, okay? It all depends on the circumstances.
Great example, though, because people
example.
Are very, they're falling into, you know, volcanoes all the time.
Now, I will say that sometimes there are miracles. I bet there were a lot of people who were ready to write off those little kids in the Thai cave, and boom, 9 days later, they turn up and they're all alive, and they're all alive today.
What if Pablo's in the Thai cave?
Yeah. What I'm saying is sometimes there are miracles.
Right.
Mm. I don't feel like this is going to be one of them.
Okay.
I feel like we're going to have to just say goodbye to Pablo. And by the way, I heard from a Kevin B. listener, Andrea, who said, summer internship, I bought a plant and putting it in the window, I thought I saw a tiny shadow fall out. I searched everywhere, but I found nothing. Moving out months later, it exposed a tiny mummified lizard under my bed. 18 years later, I'm still sad. Hashtag where's Bean's moth. So apparently I'm not the only murderer of love.
Mm.
She couldn't find it, but it was under her bed?
It was under her bed, tiny and mummified, yeah.
Sure.
So I'm saying it's tough times for survivors like Andre and me, you know?
Who's Andre?
Andrea. The listener who wrote in about the lizard. Yeah.
I thought it was another animal that you named that was in trouble. I didn't know.
No. Anyway, so we're going to have to... We have to close that file down, and I apologize, and I'm sorry that there wasn't a happier ending. I know a lot of people were out there. There were a lot of hopes and prayers.
I hate to tell you again, but there is a happy ending, and that's that the moth never went into the fridge.
Right.
Because if it had gone into the fridge, you would have been able to find it. It's science.
Great.
Tell yourself that and believe your parents when they say that your dog went to live on a farm, okay?
I mean, it's science, though.
However you want to imagine, you can believe, Kevin, if it makes you feel better. I'm just here being the tough truth teller.
Sure.
I'm sorry. That's all I can do. All right. Here's the thing today, you guys. Beer Mug, I hope you're listening. A lot of people are going to be interested in this. There's a website I am unfamiliar with until this morning. It is called howtowatch.com, and they call themselves a cord-cutting tool. And what they do is they tell you where you can stream anything that you're looking to watch and what's the best way to do it.
Okay.
Cheapest way, best quality, best availability. Yeah, howtowatch.com. They are in the market right now for somebody to work for them to watch 100 hours of streaming television, and they will pay you $2,000 to do it.
What?
Oh, my.
It's a contracted position. You can work wherever and whenever you want. The start date is flexible. You don't need a degree.
And it doesn't need to be continuous?
And it doesn't need to be continuous, right?
I'm in.
They're looking for a binge watcher or tech junkie who already knows a thing or two about streaming. Our ideal candidate is also an active Twitter and or Reddit user who feels comfortable sharing their experiences along the way. So they give you free access to 7 different live streaming platforms for the duration of your employment. You can stream any event that you want. You just have to take notes. No drug testing, no background check. You'll just be watching TV, not carrying nuclear launch codes, they say. impress your friends with how awesome your job is. Suck it, Karen. So here's what you have to do. Watch roughly 14 hours of live content on each of the major streaming platforms. That's DirecTV Now, Fubo TV, which I'm unfamiliar with. You guys know Fubo?
Yep. I had to sign up for it because DirecTV sucks dropped BN TV, where I watch all of my Barca games. That's where I had to go.
No. What are you saying?
Is Fubo mostly sports or they have a bunch of other stuff?
It's mostly sports.
Yeah. All
right. For us by others? Okay.
Maybe so. That could be. Ali, I see what you did there. Hulu with live TV, Philo, PlayStation View, Sling TV, and YouTube TV. You have to complete all 100 hours of TV watching by November 1st, 2018, and take detailed notes on each service's performance. They provide a scoring sheet. So what they want to know is, what was the experience like? How good was the stream? You have to be 18 and older. And there's a application on the website for howtowatch.com if you want to apply for that. And you get paid $2,000. On top of that.
And you have to watch by when?
By November 1st. And it starts October 4th. So you've got almost a month to watch just 100 hours of TV, which, again, I said
that in a weekend.
Yeah, right. So somebody like Muggs, who's, you know, always looking for a little extra scratch, you know, Mr. Uber driver himself, I feel like this is a great job for him to apply for.
He just typed up, where do I sign?
Yep. Howtowatch.com is where you want to go if you want to fill out the application. But it's very rare that we bring you an employment opportunity. But this sounds like one that most of our listeners would be able to handle and would be able to squeeze in even with a full-time job. It seems like you could do this and kind of have fun doing it.
Listen how excited he is.
What? It sounds like you should do it.
I love TV.
Right.
Sure. And it would be
perfect person.
It sounds like it would be fun to... I'm on too many search and rescue missions these days to be able to watch TV. It sounds like it would be fun to be able to have access to these streaming services that you don't ordinarily have, too. You know, like if you're not a Hulu subscriber, for instance, boom, now for a month you get to be.
Right.
You know? So
none of us are questioning how great it is. You're just telling us.
I'm saying it's a good job and people should apply for it.
Right. You should apply for it is our point.
Why are you
Who's
trying to...
Better than you.
Rain on this parade.
What?
I'm saying you're poo-pooing the idea, and it's a great idea.
I think he thinks it's a great idea, and you'd be great at it.
Right. That doesn't seem like poo-pooing.
I'm still in mourning, you guys.
Oh, okay. Understandable.
The imaginary world is getting bigger.
Yeah.
And more complex. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bejo, shall we?
Can't wait.
How far did you go to track somebody down?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Yesterday, what was the story? A guy emailed 240...
I think 263 different Nicoles at a university because he met a girl named Nicole, knew where she went to school.
To me, that shouts creep.
It's a lot.
Yeah. That's stalker. That's stalker area.
I'm going to defend...
I know you are.
My man here and say maybe you don't recognize true love. And
right.
He does.
Right.
What happened if they got married? That would be the most romantic story ever, that's how he felt and that's how he looked for her.
Sure.
And your thoughts on the percentages of chance that they will get married?
Well, it's not high.
Yeah. We also have Brad Meltzer, one of our favorite authors, talking about his book, I Am Neil Armstrong.
He's not. He's a liar.
No, no. It's,
that's the...
He's not Neil Armstrong.
Well, it started Neil
you.
Armstrong telling his own story.
Okay. I see. I understand. I got you now.
The Ohana Festival, we've got your tickets for. We're going to play Total Recall today, and we've got People Are Dumb, and we've got your Disneyland tickets as well coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, Alan McKay.
Hey, Bean.
What's happened? What? I don't like that tone.
Congratulations to you. Is what I'm going to say.
Oh.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Doesn't sound like there's joy in that.
No, it sounds like I screwed something up.
Remember a couple days ago when I told you that Bruno Mars is going to be playing Prince in a Netflix movie?
Yep.
Big fan of...
I was horrified.
He was horrified. He was like, that's going to be awful. He's horrible. Never had an original bone in his body.
I was thinking about that. He doesn't need an original bone to play Prince.
Thank you. And he's a magical young man.
Just stop giving Bruno Mars work. That's my point.
Well, congratulations, Bean. A representative for Bruno Mars says a report claiming he will portray Prince in a new movie is 100% false.
Yay!
That's a shame. I thought he would be great.
I think maybe it was Bean.
Yeah.
He heard and he was like, listen, this guy doesn't believe in me. I don't want to let people down.
Sure.
Like Bean.
Well, he made, for the first time in his career, he made the right choice.
That's too bad. I thought he would be good.
Absolutely. Maybe, though, and stay with me here.
All right.
Conspiracy Alley.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno Mars people put the story out originally.
Mm-hmm.
And Netflix is like, there's no movie. And Bruno's like, right? That's weird. And then Netflix is like, but you would be great. And he's like, I'd love to do it. Boom!
He makes it happen
out of
nowhere.
He makes it happen. That's brilliant, right?
That is brilliant, yeah.
Let's take a walk down Conspiracy Alley.
Smell it. I don't know if the smell it's necessary at the end there, but I mean...
We didn't say it.
Really? That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations, Bean.
I'll take it.
Okay. And this is weird, only when you think it's Kanye, maybe it's not. But his fans rejoiced when he announced plans on Twitter to teach a course at the Art Institute of Chicago and the American Academy of Art. He made that claim during a tweet storm on Sunday. He said, quote, we need to be overwhelmed with love and inspiration. I will teach a course at the Art Institute of Chicago and the American Academy of Art. Here's the thing. No one at the Art Institute of Chicago or the American Academy of Art know of such plans.
Oh.
They said, we're flattered. He's not currently teaching, and at this point, we have no plans for him to do so.
Hmm.
Is he just saying he wants to, but he's just willing it, maybe? He's putting it out there
same
to the universe.
Same as the last story.
It's all very bizarre.
He's making it
I'm
happen.
I'm sorry for... the realness.
Here's what Kanye does. Kanye thinks he is qualified to do anything in the world and that any job available, people would love to have him do.
Right.
So he just assumes it's his if he wants it.
You might be right.
I mean, from president on down, Kanye just thinks the world is his.
Well, where would he learn such things? Where would he get such delusional thoughts?
Ridiculous ideas.
I just love Trump. That's my boy.
Oh, okay. So, Disney, Black Panther, they have released their For Your Consideration. So that's who they want you to, you know, win an Academy Award. So they put all that money into these different categories.
Right.
There's a lot of categories being submitted for next year's Academy Awards. The list includes, obviously, Best Picture, Best Director for Ryan Coogler, Best Actor, Chadwick Boseman, and then Best Supporting Actor, They submitted Michael B. Jordan, Martin Freeman, Daniel Kaluuya, Winston Duke, Sterling K. Brown, Forrest Whitaker, and Andy Serkis. They're like, let's just cover all our bases here. Best Supporting Actress, they put in for Lupita Nyong'o, Danny Guerra. I don't know how to say her name, and I should figure that out.
She's Michonne.
Sure. Letitia Wright and Angela Bassett. They've also submitted for Best Adapted Screenplay, Cinematography, Film Editing, Costume Design, Visual Effects, Original Score, and Original Song.
Wow.
So they're going for it.
They are going
Why
for
not?
It.
Why not? That's a great movie.
Absolutely. And of course,
that's your best chance, I would think.
Yeah. This is the first time that Marvel has made a real serious push for one of its films. No MCU title has won an Oscar yet, but they have received 9 nominations in the past. So, I mean, if you've got the money and you know you have a good product,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why not?
And thank God they won't have to settle for popular movie.
Yeah, that wasn't well thought out.
It's bad.
Not good.
Not good at
and
all.
Now if it doesn't win Best Picture, don't you think everyone's going to be like, what's wrong with this Academy? Ooh, goodness. Some birthdays for you. Jennifer Hudson. Emily? Emmy Rossum. I call her Emily. Strange.
Fine.
Reuben Studdard, remember him? He won American Idol, then you didn't hear from him. Till he almost died, and then you didn't hear from him again.
He's still out there. People still pay to go see him.
Yeah?
What was he, the Velvet Teddy Bear? Was that his nickname?
Wow.
Do not
Reuben
know.
Reuben Studdard?
The Velvet Teddy Bear, I dig it.
I think
it.
That was it. And if I recall correctly, this may be more Reuben Studdard than you needed.
Yeah.
I think he lost to Clay Aiken. I think that was that season.
Wow.
Oh, it says American Idol winner on here.
Oh, I guess he beat Clay Aiken there.
And happy birthday to retired basketball all-star Yao Ming, Neil Peart, one of the best drummers of all time from Rush, and friend of the show from Gotham, the OC, Southland, Ben McKenzie.
Love.
And that's what's happening.
It's Halloween time, you guys, at the Disneyland Resort, happening now all the way through the holiday itself. You can go to KROQ.com for a chance to win a 4-pack of passes to the Disneyland Resort, or just stick around. We've got them for you at 9 a.m. again this morning, then throughout the day at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Have a great time. KROQ.com is where you want to go.
Let's do some people are dumb.
Dumb.
I don't know if you saw this video. I posted it, I don't know, maybe a week ago, but it's certainly worth watching again. Suspect trying to rob a store, ran in, dropped his gun over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Counter's about 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Tried to jump the counter, couldn't jump the 4-foot counter,
mm-hmm.
Turned around, ran out the door, kicked the door on his way out, his pants fell down.
Oh, dear.
It's pretty spectacular.
Have they, do you know, have they found that guy yet?
I don't think so. I haven't seen a report on that yet.
The clerk behind the counter who picks up the gun, if that had gone on a few more seconds, I wonder what her plan was. If she was just trying to make sure he didn't have the gun, or if she was planning on using that gun on that dude.
She looked scared of it. She looked
yeah.
very scared of it.
Having said that, it has come out since that it was a BB gun.
Oh,
was it really?
Yes.
It was the worst attempt, and it failed faster than anyone ever tried to rob a place.
Yeah, it was funny because he just reached in his pocket, he pulled it out, and the gun just flew across the counter right. onto the floor. So that's done.
Yeah.
So now he immediately tries to jump this tiny little counter, maybe 4 feet, maybe.
Yeah.
Couldn't get over it.
I hope he has badass friends that do nothing but mock him about that video.
They absolutely should.
But how cool did he look when he kicked the door on his way out? What a dork!
He jumped and kicked the door like he was just having the time of his life.
So weird.
Yeah. Would-be robber arrested after Chicago restaurant owner tells him to come back in an hour. Chicago police and prosecutors say Mario Garcia and Domingo Garcia Hernandez went to the Clifton Grill in West Rogers place last Sunday demanding food and telling the owner, I will kill you, I have a gun with me.
Oh, my. Oh,
they were hungry.
I don't quite understand this next sentence. Concerned for his customer's safety, police said the owner told the men he was too busy right now. Come back in an hour.
Okay, you don't hear that from a restaurant very often.
They left. They come back in an hour.
After they threatened his life.
Yes.
Oh.
He calls the police. They're waiting. They come back for an hour. They're like, all right, let's get on with this. I got stuff to do.
You think the police were like, there's no way these idiots are coming back.
Why are we sitting here? This is a waste of time.
Oh, man.
Well, people are dumb, though, Allie. That's what you're forgetting.
Okay, you're right.
DeKalb murder suspect who accidentally turned himself in is indicted. This guy named Sanjay Stewartson. I'm positive that's not how you say his name.
How else would you pronounce Stewartson? That sounds pretty basic.
Okay. I'm positive I said it correctly. There was a murder at the at a shopping plaza maybe a couple of days before. Mm-hmm. This guy went into the police department and said, hey, I lost my passport and I need a police report so that I can get a new one because my wife and I are trying to travel, kind of need to speed things up. What he didn't realize is he thought he left his passport at a Walmart. Mm-hmm. He left his passport at the shooting crime, at the crime scene.
Oh.
And his phone.
Oh.
Oh.
Passport and phone.
Yeah.
At the scene of the crime.
Hmm. That's too much evidence to leave behind.
So the police noticed that he was sweating profusely and his hands were shaking. Hmm. So they said, just a minute, let's go back and take a little check. And they did, and he was wanted for murder in that case. He went
good.
To the right. He went to the police and said, hey, I lost my passport. Uh-huh. You got any info? And they said, yeah, we have info. It's murder. I love
that. Was that the case that they gave him?
Oh, go to hell. Burglar drank 24 bottles of beer and Jägermeister and then tried to escape from police on a bike.
Oh, no.
24 bottles of beer. How many were left on the wall?
Oh, my God.
What?
You're destroying this. Back to you. The 24-year-old eventually crashed into a police car and fell off, ending the chase. This is funny, though, because the police heard a burglar alarm go off in the neighborhood, and then they saw the dude on a bike who was swerving all over the place mm-hmm. because he was completely drunk, also holding a flat-screen TV.
Oh, my gosh.
Impressive.
On his bike. Impressive, but then they just
they
saw him drive by, and they were like, okay. They asked him why he did it. He said he was recently released in prison, and he was bored.
Okay.
He was bored.
Okay. Very reasonable explanation. Could you function at all after 24 beers?
Oh,
no,
I'd be
and the
dead.
Jägermeister would kill me.
I mean, you couldn't walk, much less ride a bike, right?
I walk. Let's not be ridiculous.
I forgot who I was dealing with.
I'm going to let you guys fill in the punchline of this story. Author of How to Murder Your Husband, arrested for allegedly...
She blew through a red light camera.
Allie?
Yeah, I think she probably robbed a convenience store.
Killing her husband.
Oh man,
I did not see that coming.
Me neither.
A romantic suspense novelist who once penned an essay entitled How to Murder Your Husband. She also wrote one called The Wrong Husband.
What was he thinking?
I don't know. Her husband, 63-year-old chef, was fatally shot in the kitchen that he worked at. In 2012, this woman told Romancing the Genres blog that they said, "What attracts you to romantic suspense stories?" And she said, "Murder, mayhem, and gore seem to come naturally to me, which means my husband ought to sleep with one eye open."
No kidding.
Oh, dear.
Right? She says that, and now she's been arrested for murder.
Wow.
And finally, prosecutor charged newspaper carrier after he allegedly stole from mailboxes while working. This is in Indiana. A 33-year-old man named Charles Gene Ferguson broke into a whole lot of mailboxes on his newspaper route and stole all of the mail. He would find the checks. Uh-huh. He would rub off the name that the checks were written to, and he would put his own name on it, and then he would go deposit it in his bank.
Like, that's a bad system.
So a lot of the neighbors said, hey, the people that we're sending these checks to don't seem to be getting them. So they contacted the police and the bank sent them copies of the check. Mm-hmm. And, of course, his name was written on the checks.
Well, sure.
And his bank account number.
Not smart.
This is the report.
After inquiring with their banks, they were able to allegedly retrieve copies of the checks that had cleared their account with Ferguson's name on them.
Which is insane, of course. And then this is the police officer that was trying to track down this case.
He's pretty much, when it comes to dumb criminals, he's probably like bottom feeder, really. I mean, you know, you write the checks to yourself and put them in your own bank account. You don't even need a detective to really investigate that case.
You don't even need us. Just put it together yourself. And that's...
Dumb.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
I mean, it is... Author Wednesday, right?
I mean, sure. It doesn't,
that's a thing.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue, but all right.
It doesn't at all, no. But we're always excited. Actually, whatever day Brad Meltzer wants to come on, that's the day we talk to an author, because he's one of our all-time favorite guests. Such a nice man, such a smart man, and he's got a new book out today called I Am Neil Armstrong. Add that one to your collection if, if you've been going through these books with heroes and role models for your kids. It's going to be awesome, like they all are. So we'll talk to Brad just after 8. First, though, Allie's here with what's happening on a Wednesday.
Well, during a recent interview with Zane Lowe, Josh Homme announced that Queens of the Stone Age will wrap up their Villains Tour in November at San Quentin State Prison.
Oh.
Yeah. He compared the performance to what Johnny Cash has done in the past. Not recently.
Not the most recent one?
No. Okay. Absolutely. And once the tour is over, he will be returning to host his Beats One program called the Alligator Hour. So no rest for the wicked. Know what I'm saying?
When I was in when I was doing time, I don't remember them bringing in rock bands as entertainment. That's pretty. I mean, look, it's no fun being in San Quentin, but I'm kind of surprised that that's available to the prisoners. Doesn't seem like much of a punishment, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. What were you in prison for?
I don't like to talk about it.
Okay.
He killed Pablo.
Oh, that's right.
No, that's why he's still going to go to the prison in the future.
Well, if you're there before his date in November, you can see Queens of the Stone Age.
All right.
Good times. So, we all know that Les Moonves, the head of CBS, wound up saying, I'm done now, here, on Sunday, when I think it was six or seven more women were revealed in the sexual problems that he's had in the past. We can call it anywhere from harassment to straight up assault. And the hosts of different shows on his network have come out swinging, really. Oh. Stephen Colbert on Monday night immediately tackled the issue of Moonves' resignation. There was a voiceover at the beginning of the show which said, tonight's episode of Undercover Boss starring Les Moonves will not be shown. It was accidentally sealed into a stainless steel container, which was then inadvertently fired into the heart of the sun. We regret the error. Oh, and then he didn't stop there. In his monologue, he made a jab at Moonves and a Louis C.K. reference. He said, the article is extremely disturbing, meaning the New Yorker article that exposed all of the new women's allegations. He said, the article is extremely disturbing, and I'm not surprised that that's it. Les Moonves is gone. Well, for at least 9 months until he does a set at the Comedy Cellar.
Wow.
Oh, damn. Right?
And this is him mocking a guy who was his boss up until the day before.
Oh, that gave him that job that he was the head of Viacom, too, which was Comedy Central. So he's known him forever.
Yeah.
So James Corden, also his boss, addressed the issue as well, though he was a bit less harsh. He said that it's his job to come out and make jokes, but it's been a very difficult day here at CBS, but that pales in comparison to how difficult it must be for the many women who are coming forward. And then CBS This Morning co-host Gail King addressed the issue and raised concerns over the lack of transparency in the investigation, because CBS said that they're going to keep their findings confidential, which is some BS, right? So she wound up saying on her show, in our own house, we must have transparency. And then over at the show The Talk, which is the show Julie Chen, Les Moonves' wife, is one of the hosts of, and she has not shown up yet this week to be on the show, they all wound up saying in their roundtable discussion, we need to know the outcome of this. They can't keep this from us, because then they'll keep from us what money is going his way, if any. And I think they need to be transparent with that. Which then made me wonder about Julie Chen ever returning to that show.
That's what I was thinking. That was it.
How could she possibly, though? I mean, their whole thing is they talk about their personal lives and different issues. So every issue that now comes up from here on out with the Me Too movement, she's just going to sit there and be like,
I don't know. I don't know if you could.
One of those.
Because it clearly wasn't him. I mean, her.
Right.
So I don't know that she couldn't come out and address it once.
Right.
And say, I really don't want to keep addressing this, but let's talk about it. And then put it behind and move on. I don't know.
But I think this conversation is going to keep coming up. Not
it may,
with him.
Yeah. Right, right.
But I don't know if I'd want to sit there and have every, like...
Anything from you, Julie?
So awkward. No, I'm cool. I'm cool. Pass.
But, Ali, I saw Norm MacDonald say he's glad the Me Too movement is winding down some.
Oh, I will get to Norm MacDonald in the next one. It's way too much.
My God, no way.
To sum up in just 1 minute. But, hey, I mean, at least racism's over because we had a black president, right?
I've heard that.
That's just one of the tidbits from Norm yesterday.
Bong, bong. Oh,
sweet Jesus.
Right, bong, bong.
Right. Some birthdays for you. Yao Ming, Neil Peart, Ben McKenzie, Ruben Studdard, Emmy Rossum, Jennifer Hudson. I won't do that again. That's good. What's happening.
Just to continue the conversation from off the air, Kevin, isn't Alex Jones the Alex Jones of the right?
That's a good point. We're talking about Ann Coulter, and I said... That she's the Alex Jones of the right.
Alex Jones.
Of course.
Okay.
I didn't know that we needed to bring that onto the air.
I'm just saying, Alex
Some
Jones.
Some things we're talking about off the air.
Alex
don't need
Jones
to
still exists,
here.
Though. He's still alive. Right, and he's still the.
All Continuing right. the conversation of off the air, how's that bump on your penis been?
Right? It's actually leaking a little bit right now.
Oh,
so.
Right. Sweet See? Baby Jesus.
Now you won't bring that up again. Hey, Jimmy Kimmel, a couple of nights ago, had on that family in Texas who delivered a baby on the way to the hospital. Maybe you saw that video of the mom on her knees giving birth to a child in the passenger seat of a moving vehicle.
And scary as hell. Yeah.
Scary as hell. And her dumbass husband videotaping it. So he talked to them, and we've got highlights of that interview coming up in about 15 minutes. First, Kevin, you don't know about this.
I don't.
But it's huge news. Huge. ABC, as is their tradition, this morning unveiled the cast members for season 27 of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah!
All right.
And none of us watch Dancing with the Stars, and none of us care about Dancing with the Stars, but we are so delighted when the list comes out because it shows how either how out of touch we are or how few stars they're able to get on the show, because we usually have heard of about four of the contestants for Dancing with the Stars.
I did watch some of last season because of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay.
It was awesome. That was some magical dancing, wasn't it?
That was spectacular.
Right. And Kareem would have been one of the ones we would have said, okay, legitimate star. Mm-hmm. I understand they have him on. But a lot of them, and look, we don't know. There's a lot of people we don't know because they could be, they could be YouTube stars. Or they could be esports players or whatever that we just don't recognize. But Allie has the list in front of her, and she's going to reveal to us who's going to be going for the coveted mirror ball this season.
I will tell you this. There are 13 names on this list.
Okay.
All right.
I know six of them.
Wow, that's better than usual.
That means I know two of them.
Possibly. Yes. Right. Okay, first up, radio personality Bobby Bones.
He's a huge star. He works out of Nashville. Yep. He's practically nationally syndicated.
Oh, he is nationally syndicated, yeah.
That's a pretty high-profile person for people who listen to country music on the radio. So I think he counts. I think that's a legit star.
Never heard of.
Never? Okay.
No.
I've heard he's one of the six that I know.
All right.
Do you know the name DeMarcus Ware?
DeMarcus Ware, athlete?
Mm-hmm.
Basketball player?
Nope.
Football.
Football, yes.
Yes,
he was
I have heard
on the Cowboys from 2005 to 2013, and then the Broncos for 2 years, ending his career in 2016.
I think that counts as a celebrity.
Okay. There
I didn't
you go.
Know the name, but I'm sure there are a lot of people out there in Cowboy Nation who are going to be very excited to see him.
Absolutely. What about the name Milo Manheim?
Never heard of.
No clue.
Milo
What
Manheim.
If I told you he was on a Disney Channel show? And what if I told you that show was called Zombies?
Not a show.
What?
Not heard of any of those words.
No.
No.
Me either. All right. What about the name Danielle Umstead?
Nope.
No.
Got nothing.
Not here.
What if I told you she's a Paralympian?
Oh, okay. She'll probably win then.
What if I told you she will be the first ever vision impaired contestant?
Vision.
Now, they've had deaf contestants before, obviously, Marley Matlin.
Mm-hmm.
But is she blind?
It says vision impaired, but she's a slalom, giant slalom, downhill, and super G skier, but
Holy
her
crap.
Husband guides her down.
Oh.
So she has to be. Come on.
That's. That's crazy inspirational.
Absolutely.
That she's able to do all that. And now dance.
Okay, we accept you, Daniel.
Yes, I want to win.
Okay. We didn't know who you were until 30 seconds ago, but we're glad you're on the show.
What about Joe, Grocery Store Joe, Amabile?
I got nothing.
What?
Grocery Store Joe made the list?
He did.
He's one of the stars? Does he...
Do you know him?
I'm just going... No, I don't. Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb here, though. Does he work for a grocery store?
I don't know, maybe, but he is from The Bachelorette and also Bachelor in Paradise. I assume he works at a grocery store, right?
Sure.
Grocery Store Joe.
Yes.
Would you want that to be your nickname?
No, it's horrible.
Listen, Dancing with the Stars is bringing the heat.
And it can't be like Joe Grocery Store. That's at least better than Grocery Store Joe, right?
So, recapping for folks just tuning in, these are the stars
that
have been announced for Dancing with the Stars.
These are the stars. If you missed them, radio personality Bobby Bones, former NFL star DeMarcus Ware, Disney Channel zombie star Milo Manheim, Paralympian Daniel Umstead, Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise star Joe Grocery Store Joe Amabile.
See, what Allie's doing is she's building up here, Kevin, and she's going to wow us at the end with, you know, like a Billy Corgan or Angelina Jolie or somebody like that.
Kanye. Okay.
Well,
yeah, Kanye,
a star, somebody.
What about the name John Schneider?
Bo Duke
from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Completely legitimate.
He's got to be 90.
He's like in his 60s, maybe. I don't know.
That's a legit star. And by the way, don't forget, he's a legit star. He was on Smallville for like 10 years as Clark Kent's father, too, by the way, which wasn't that long ago. I think John Schneider totally counts.
All right. I'll get into that. All right.
What about John Pablo DePace?
No clue.
Never heard of John Pablo DePace.
Who the hell?
He is on Fuller House.
Oh, sorry, Bob Saget. Okay. We watch every episode. We just missed his name.
Right.
I'm sure he's great. How about this one? Nancy McKeon.
Nancy McKeon.
Mm-hmm.
Is she an actress?
Where would I know her from?
Is she an actress?
If you take the good, you take the bad. You take them both, and there you have...
Facts of Life?
Facts of Life.
The Facts of Life.
Oh.
There's a time you got to go and show you're growing, now you know about the Facts of Life.
Right.
And she was a viewer of that show?
She was Joe freaking Polnicek.
Does that make her a star?
She was the one. She rode the motorcycle. She was like the rebel. She would always wear her hair back in a ponytail, but on the side there were two braids, and I'd always ask my mom to do my hair like that. Never happened.
So you're legit excited about this one.
I'm excited about Joe Polnicek. She is one of the six that I know.
And we're still talking about stars, right?
Yes.
Okay.
This next one, I wanted to name my hamster after her.
Okay.
But I lost out, and we named him Rocky. And then he got out of the cage, and then a lawnmower ran over him. But that's a whole other story.
Stay on target.
That was a tough diversion,
right?
Mary Lou Retton.
Oh,
okay.
Right?
Super legit.
Absolutely.
Olympic gymnast,
medalist.
Right?
Yes. 1984. Huge.
Isn't she like 3'9" or something?
She is
very tiny.
Yeah. Okay. Tiny woman. What about Tinashe?
Oh, Tinashe, for sure.
Right.
I saw a concert of his. He went, he's a great rapper.
You like him?
Yeah.
Is there a last name, or does he or she just go by Tinashe?
Kevin said he's a big enough star, and you've seen him in concert, which is odd, because it's a woman. And she is indeed a singer, though.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
No.
I'm sorry, I'm unfamiliar.
All right. Alexis Wren.
Know the name well. Why?
Of course you do.
I don't know the name.
I don't know either.
She is a Maxim cover girl and Sports Illustrated swimsuit rookie from 2018.
I will allow it.
Okay. All right.
And we have a winner.
Kevin, you should know this one.
Right.
Ivana Lynch.
Ivana Lynch.
Again,
these are the stars.
Dancing with the Stars, new season. We're trying to figure out who any of them are.
And you're saying specifically I should know?
Yes.
Does she play women's soccer?
No.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Maybe you would know her from her character name.
Okay.
Luna Lovegood.
I got nothing. I'm blank over here, guys.
I don't know.
Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
She's in all the Harry Potter movies.
But
also a great porn name, so you looked a little nervous. I'm not going to lie to you.
Is what's her name? Luna what in the Harry Potter?
Lovegood?
Was that a big part?
Kevin, you're our Harry
Potter. I have no idea. I don't know who she is.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
This is not a list that's blinding me with superstardom.
No, I'm going to wrap it up with somebody that we all know.
Okay, this is like the Paul McCartney.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying
this
someone,
is the huge A-lister.
It's someone.
Tom Hanks.
No.
Joe Biden.
I'm saying
Tom
it's someone we all know.
Okay.
Oh, someone
like
we know personally.
We all know personally.
Okay. Right,
she has been here on the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it, God, what's her name? Sarah Shahi.
It is not Sarah Shahi.
That would have been a great guess, though.
It is a...
I mean, if it were right.
Oh, no, amazing.
It wasn't a great guess because it was wrong.
Right, but had it been right,
it would have been a great thing. Okay.
It is a comedian.
Oh. Sarah Silverman.
No.
No, she's not desperate. Oh, sorry. Kevin. I shouldn't say that if we know this person.
Could be a friend here.
I know.
Oh, Whitney Cummings.
It is not Whitney Cummings.
Not Whitney Cummings.
Are we thinking too big?
A little bit.
Nikki Glaser?
Nikki Glaser.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yay! See, now, how about that? I would watch her because I would assume she would make it funny.
Absolutely.
She's
100%.
Very funny. Okay.
Yeah. So those are the 13 stars unveiled for the upcoming 27th season.
Can't wait.
Of Dancing with the Stars.
It's been a while since we've had Red Hot Chili Peppers' new music, but I just read yesterday they are back in the studio.
All right.
Working on a new record. No release date yet, but that's good news if you're a fan.
Absolutely.
We mentioned that Jimmy Kimmel had on this family out of McKinney, Texas, that had a baby on the way to the hospital. By the way, Kevin, you've had a couple of kids.
Yeah.
What's that like when you go into labor and you realize it's for reals? Like, this is happening.
You're never more petrified in your entire life.
Yeah.
And I'm not the one doing it.
Right. Did you have the opportunity to plan it out ahead of time and make sure that you could get your wife to the hospital so she could have birth where you wanted her to have birth?
Yes, because it was twins.
Yeah.
And they were coming early, so they scheduled it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that was smart. Okay.
It made a big difference because I didn't want to do the car thing.
Yes, yes. This video, we do not do it justice by playing a little bit of the sound from this video, but the husband, whose name is Dominique, by the way, is filming his wife, whose name is Alexis, giving birth. Now, how do you describe? She's on her knees, basically with her head toward the back of the car, and her, I mean, people who are driving by had to see her butt.
I would think so.
Through the front windshield, but she is there, and as you'll hear, she is screaming her head off because, well... I mean, for legitimate reasons, she has a baby getting ready to come out of her.
Can you wait like 2 minutes?
And her husband says, can you wait like 2 minutes?
Hold on.
Hold on.
Coming out.
They're driving to the hospital. She realizes the baby's coming out.
Oh, no. Is he laughing?
Oh. She had the baby.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Please.
Two follow-ups.
Yes.
Who was filming?
He was. While driving.
Who was driving?
He was while filming.
That's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
Yes, and I kept wondering, for all the people who said, hey, put down the camera and drive, why didn't he, when you realize the baby is coming now, why not be in a moving car? Why not pull over and assist your wife?
Yeah. He wasn't making good decisions across the board.
Well, and the fact that this is his fifth child means he doesn't make good decisions across the board anyway.
But at least the other kids weren't in the car at the same time.
Well, that's what we're going to find out here, There's the baby.
Oh, my goodness. We just delivered a baby in the car.
We
didn't. All right, the camera is getting ready to pan back as he wants to ask, as Kevin pointed out, the rest of the children who are all just sitting in the back of the car like nothing's going on. And the shock in the audience when they realize all those kids are in the car while the baby's being born.
Oh, my God. That's crazy, isn't it, guys?
And one of them's just like looking out the window like it happens all the time.
It may have. Who knows, it happened before.
So Jimmy gets the whole family on the video screen there in his show and starts off by asking, how did their day begin that day?
I started the day off in labor. I was not in the car yet, though, but I was definitely in labor. We took a trip to the midwife's office where she told me I was 7 centimeters transition and it was time to go to the hospital.
Now, I'm confused about this, too. Why did she have a midwife if she was planning on having the baby in the hospital? I don't understand that.
A lot of people have midwives, even if it's not a home birth.
I thought that was specifically for home birth.
And is that, Allie, is that just so that you have somebody to advise you along the way, answer questions along the way?
Yes.
Okay, so they're on their way to the hospital.
How far away was the hospital?
About 12 to 15 minutes.
So 12 to 15 minutes, and how quickly did the baby start to poke out?
About 8 minutes.
Eight minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
You got it all on video, right, Dominique? You got the whole thing. And why were you videotaping? The whole time I'm watching, I'm thinking, put the camera down and drive the car.
What do you think his answer is as to why he was videotaping his wife giving birth in the front seat of their car?
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, he's probably going to say something like, I knew she'd want to see it.
I don't know.
Well, you're close. Okay.
That's what everyone said.
Yeah, right.
Instructed to report this.
Y'all can blame me. I asked him, I was like, in case she's born in the car, like, take a video.
What?
Her idea.
Oprah would not approve of this strategy. I'm just telling you. So you got out of the car with more kids than you got into in the video.
That is a great line, Jimmy, by the way.
Alexis, what was going through your head while this was happening? And why were you in that position physically?
That's funny, because the midwife actually put me into the car that way. She was like, lean the seat back some. This will be the most comfortable. And I did not argue because, I mean, I guess it was. It probably was the most comfortable way I could have delivered that baby.
What about the kids? How do they, what's going, I mean... You know, at some point you have to tell them where babies come from, and they're going to say, well, the car, of course. So, all right, how many kids do we have there now? One, two, three, four, five kids. Do you want to have more kids?
Absolutely not.
And then, and you should really watch the whole video, and then Jimmy says, hey, I'm glad you guys came on the show. I appreciate it. Would you please go and answer your front door? So the whole family stands up and they walk and they open the front door, and his friends at Chrysler, I think, had donated a brand new minivan to the family. A, because they've expanded now, and B, because Jimmy says you are never going to get the stains out of that car. That's never going to have that new car smell again. So we're going to give you a brand new vehicle.
Wow.
Which I thought was super, super cool. They seem like a really, really nice family.
Couldn't one of the kids video it as well?
I don't know.
I didn't want to see it.
Did you see how young the kids were, though? I mean, I think the oldest looked like he or she was about four. I mean, it's not like they had a 14-year-old back there that could shoot it, you know? But crazy, crazy story, but fortunately it worked out for everybody.
All right, we have tickets for the Ohana Festival at Doheny State Beach. It is September 28th to the 30th. We're talking Eddie Vedder, Beck, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Mumford & Sons, Young the Giant, a whole bunch more. If you'd like to win those tickets, you're going to have to play a game now. 1-800-520-1067. You call and we will get you in that concert now.
I think this Ohana Festival is an unheralded success. That's what I think. At Doheny State Beach, last weekend of September, it's how many years in a row they've done this Ohana thing?
This is second. I think this is the second. Mm-hmm. I think.
Well, it's a great lineup again this year with Eddie Vedder and Norah Jones and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and Johnny Marr, Mumford & Sons, Beck, Young the Giant, Norah Jones, did I mention?
Yep.
Norah Jones, mm-hmm. Eric Church, so many more. And we're giving it, you can buy tickets at OhanaFest.com. We're giving away a pair of 3-day passes right now with a game that we like to call Total Recall.
The game that we play. If you want tickets to the Ohana Festival, oh yeah! Total Recall, Ohana Festival. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh yeah!
Allie is your host, contestants. You want to explain how this pressure cooker of a game works?
I'm going to ask you a question. You then have 10 seconds to name me 5 things that go along with that question. It sounds easy, but trust me.
The 10 seconds part is hard.
Yes. Yeah. Don't get in your head.
It's really impossible. So don't let that bother you or put pressure on you, but you're not going to be able to do it.
I mean, no one has ever won.
Right. I mean, but people have won every time.
Don't let that scare you away. All right, Kevin, who's our first contestant, please?
This would be Ryan in Whittier. Good morning, Ryan.
Kevin and Bean. Allie, what's up? Good morning.
Hey,
morning.
Ryan. All right, here's your question. The Yeah Yeah Yeahs will take the stage Saturday night at the Ohana Fest. In 2017, the band released a deluxe remastering of their debut album, Fever to Tell. Besides a fever, name five things that can affect you when you're sick. Start.
Diarrhea, a headache, nausea, body ache, vomiting. Sneezing.
All right. Look at this. Well done, Ryan. You go into the trying.
I heard that no one had ever won this game.
Like we're saying, it's super easy.
All right, by the way, Ryan was really quick with that diarrhea, wasn't he?
Right?
Just the first thing.
Let's go to Richard in Pasadena. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Richard. Eddie Vedder will be headlining on Saturday night. Most know him as the lead singer of Pearl Jam. Besides pearls, name me five other things you might find in the ocean. Go.
Sharks, dolphins, seaweed, shells, crab.
Look at that. Time to spare. Nicely done.
Look at that. By the way, we also call this the easiest game in the world.
All right, let's go to Jose in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Oh, good morning.
Welcome to Total Recall.
All right, Jose, you ready?
Yes.
Beck is a singer, songwriter, rapper, record producer, multi-instrumentalist. He'll be playing Ohana on Sunday. His last studio album was called Colors. It came out last year. Besides the color purple, in 10 seconds, name five different colors. Go.
Orange, blue, red, green, black.
Wow, right. Really slow on the bell there, whoever that is.
Well done.
He did.
Everyone has gotten it in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, they sure have.
So easy. We should pick a harder game. Let's go to Jennifer in Buena Park. Hi, Jennifer.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Welcome to Total Recall. What do you think of your competition as you're listening on hold here?
I'm feeling the pressure.
All right.
That's what we want. We want to make sure no one is comfortable as they head into this game.
Not at all.
All right, Jennifer, Mumford & Sons won a Grammy for Album of the Year in 2013. We were way ahead of the curve because the band played K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas in 2011. In 10 seconds, name five things that you equate with Christmas. Go.
Jingle bells, sleigh, Santa Claus, stockings, ho, ho, ho.
I think you got it. Yeah.
I mean, ho, ho, ho. Is that technically one?
Yes, it is.
She said Christmas tree after, so it works, but that was funny.
I liked it.
Well done, Jennifer.
Easiest game in the world, you guys.
Easiest game in the world. This is simple, everybody. Ramon in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning, party people.
Welcome to Total Recall.
All right, Ramon. Johnny Marr is an English musician, songwriter, and singer, best known as the guitarist and co-songwriter of The Smiths. In 10 seconds, name five other famous Johns or Johnnies. Go.
Johnny Rotten, John Smith, John Adams, John Turner, and John Jackson.
All right, I gave you John Smith, but who the hell is John Turner?
Hello?
John Turner. I know.
You said John Turner.
I don't know. I was thinking of a boxer for some reason. Or a combination of Ted Turner. I don't know.
Thank you for playing, though. We appreciate it. Am I right? That wasn't five famous Johns or Johnnies, right?
No, I think it was three, maybe four.
All right, one more contestant, please.
All right, let's go to Ramon in Whittier. Hi.
Hi there. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Is there phone sounds good.
Can you pick up the phone so you're not on speaker?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Help. Okay.
All right, Ramon. Ohana Festival is taking place at Doheny State Beach in Dana Point. In 10 seconds, name five other beach communities here in Southern California. Go.
Sure. Huntington Beach, Laguna Beach, Sunset Beach, Newport Beach, and, of course, Malibu Beach.
Oh, just outside.
I think you had four, but said Malibu after the buzz.
I think so.
You shouldn't have said, and of course.
But also, Malibu. Sunset Beach isn't a beach community, is it?
But there is a Sunset Beach, though, so somebody's got to
It doesn't
there,
matter
right?
because he'll
he, did, he didn't he make did. It. Okay. Sorry, Ramon.
All right. It was a great effort, though, and I'm going to say everybody was a great contestant today. Thank you all for calling and playing. So Ryan and Richard, Jose and Jennifer all in the running. Somebody's going to win a 3-day pass to the Ohana Fest. By the way, again, you can buy those tickets online right now at ohanafest.com. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is Ryan. Yay!
Ryan, congratulations.
Thank you. I knew it. I knew God was going to give me those tickets today.
Because of the diarrhea.
The diarrhea.
Okay, enjoy the show.
Oh, yeah! Donald
Rico. It's Book Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that works either.
Book Club Wednesday?
Mm, maybe.
Author, I don't know either, but we're very excited that Brad Meltzer is going to be joining us, this time lying about being Neil Armstrong. I don't know why this guy can't keep his story straight.
I think it's Neil Armstrong telling his own story.
Every time we have him on, it's not, by the way, it's Brad Meltzer telling Neil Armstrong's story. Every time we have him on, he claims to be somebody different. Last time it was freaking Gandhi, now he thinks he's Neil Armstrong.
I see, okay.
So he's delusional, but we love Brad, and he'll be joining us right after the top of the hour. First, Ali's here with What's Happening.
You guys get a chance to read the Norm Macdonald interview in the Hollywood Reporter?
I actually did not.
Wow.
I saw some of
the hits.
Quotes, outrageous things he said.
The hits, if you will, the hot takes. Wow. Yeah, he sat down for an interview with the Hollywood Reporter. This, of course, to promote his show on Netflix that comes out on Friday.
Yeah.
So it starts off, they talk a little politics. They talk a little Trump's presidency, and the interviewer asks him, well, what about all this emboldening of racism, though? And here's his quote. I live in L.A., where I'm always faced with the lunacy of the left. I didn't know the same lunacy existed on the right, so I never really bought into this notion that everyone is racist, because there was a black president, you know? But the Sacha Baron, first of all, can we unpack that? Anyone that says, how could we be a racist country? We have Barack Obama for 2 terms. Good God. But here's the part that I was like, woof. He said, but the Sacha Baron Cohen show has been a frightening eye-opener. I was also in a bubble, but in a different way. I guess everyone's a effing idiot. So until the Sacha Baron show.
Wow.
But Sacha Baron Cohen show, he wasn't really sure racism was alive and well.
Huh.
All right. So then he's asked a little bit about the Me Too movement. And he basically says, I'm happy the Me Too movement has slowed down a little bit. And then he talks about how it used to be 100 women can't be lying. And then it became one woman can't lie. And then it became, I believe all women. And he thinks that's wrong. And the interviewer said, well, what about when someone admits wrongdoing? Like his friend Louis C.K., here's what he said. The model used to be admit wrongdoing, show complete contrition, then you're given a second chance. Now it's admit wrongdoing and you're finished. And so the only way to survive is to deny, deny, deny. That's not healthy, but there is no forgiveness. That's my guess. I know a couple of people that this has happened to.
So he's worried about the people who are being accused?
Oh, no. It gets worse.
Okay.
The interviewer says, who? And this is the whole quote. Well, Louis and Roseanne are the two people I know. And Roseanne was so broken up that I got Louis to call her. And even though Roseanne was very hard on Louis before that, but she was just so broken up and just crying constantly. Wait for it. Here's the quote. There are very few people that have gone through what they have, losing everything in a day. And of course, people will go, what about the victims? But you know what? The victims didn't have to go through that.
This is total horse crap.
Norm.
So the victims got off easy because they didn't lose a TV show.
Right.
They just got violated in some other way.
And, you know, most of them also lost any, you know, future earnings because Louis and his manager had blocked a lot of them.
Hmm.
So, Norm, not good. So, of course, late yesterday afternoon, the apology tweet from Norm. Roseanne and Louis have both been good friends of mine for many years. They both made terrible mistakes, and I would never defend their actions. If my words sounded like I was minimizing the pain that their victims feel to this day, I am deeply sorry.
What's he going to say about it in his Tonight Show appearance tonight, Allie?
Well, thank you for asking. Hours after apologizing for the comments in the Hollywood Reporter interview, His appearance on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon was canceled. Hmm. A spokesperson said, out of sensitivity to our audience and in light of Norm MacDonald's comments in the press today, The Tonight Show has decided to cancel his appearance on Tuesday's telecast. So, oops.
Oops, indeed.
Look, he put his foot in it in a very inarticulate way. In the big picture of this conversation, there are still a lot of questions, though, about who can come back and how. And that's where we're at in the national discussion. But I don't think Norm's helping it.
He did. That was not even really any of what he put his foot in about.
Yeah.
Well, no. But he was saying how there's the burden of proof is so low now.
Mm-hmm. So just deny everything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's number one. And number two, the victims don't go through what these poor accused people who admitted to their wrongdoing, not Roseanne Barr. She's still convinced it was, what was it, Ambien, then it was something else, then it was five other things. So,
like I said, he didn't help the conversation at all. He didn't move it in a positive direction. It was very inarticulate, and I understand why people are upset by what he had to say.
I think it was more than inarticulate. I think it was he was saying horrible things.
Yeah, I think it was ignorant and ridiculous.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Jeez, Bean. God damn it.
I'm on your side, you guys.
Doesn't sound like it.
I think he's a dumbass. I'm just saying there are other angles to this story that still need to be explored and discussed.
Right?
Norm's not the guy to do it. That's all I'm saying.
Like how racism is over because we had a black president.
That's right.
But thank God for Sacha Baron Cohen playing a role on a TV show that alerted me to maybe I was wrong about racism.
Yeah, Norm needs to get out more.
Baby.
No.
Jeez,
Norm's people need to keep microphones out of his face.
And you gotta wonder, this is Netflix, and Netflix is who put together the interview with the New York Times that the people that, from Arrested Development did that was a huge firestorm. Do you think Netflix is like, hey, let's just put out a press release, the show comes out this date, we're cool.
No more interviews.
Right? Oof, it's a lot. Hey, coming up, you guys. Some bad news for you.
Uh-oh. Oh, great. Looking
bad
forward to that.
Bad news when it comes to Superman.
Oh. Okay.
Hope you're not expecting more Henry Cavill, because I got some bad news.
Well, I wonder what that bad news could be.
Let's see if we can put two and two together.
That's a tease. You're going to stay tuned.
I feel like that was the whole story.
I feel like it might have been, yep. Some birthdays for you. Emmy Rossum, Yao Ming, Jennifer Hudson, Ruben Studdard, Neil Peart, Ben McKenzie. That's what's happening.
We have an unnatural amount of glee when our next guest is on the phone, don't we?
We do.
It's true.
He just makes us feel good. Author Brad Meltzer, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Brad?
I'm good, brother. How's everybody?
We're fine. I love that you write books faster than Kevin can read them. That's the pace that you're on right now.
How dare you?
And he just means the children's books.
Right. It just seems like every 6 weeks you're out with another one. How do you do it, Brad?
You know, I don't even write them. It's these kids in Malaysia who do it.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh,
sweatshop?
Yeah, no, naturally. Why would you do it any other way?
Yeah, exactly. So Brad has a series of books we've been telling you about for a couple of years here on K-Rock that are meant to be, and I'm going to steal your thunder here, Brad, but they're meant to be heroes, role models that your kids can look up to. And you have a long series of books, everybody from Amelia Earhart to Martin Luther King to Abraham Lincoln. The list goes on and on and on. And you're out with an exciting new book this week called I Am Neil Armstrong. Why did you decide to tackle one of the most famous men who ever lived this time around?
You know, I think when you look through history, there's these great needs. And you don't get the heroes you want, you get the heroes you need. And I think Neil Armstrong, there's a reason why the movie's coming out. There's a reason why I've tried to write about it. It's because we need him. We need a humble guy who doesn't just beat his chest and say, I'm the best. And what I love about Neil Armstrong is he stands for humility. Neil Armstrong never used the word I. He used to always use the word we. He would say, we did this. When the Apollo mission went to the moon, he said, you know, this is all of our accomplishments. And he meant the scientists, the mathematicians. He meant the tailor who sewed the suit together. And remember when humility was a great American value?
Sure.
Like today on Twitter, we reward those who are the loudest and get the most attention for themselves. But we need to teach our kids that it's the humble ones that deserve the real reward.
I got to be honest. If I was Neil Armstrong, it would be really difficult not to introduce myself to everybody as Neil Armstrong, first man to walk on the moon. How are you?
Oh, I would have the tattoo that said, I'm the first guy on the moon on my forehead.
And he, I mean, he was such a, humility is a great term to put on him, but he was such a quiet guy, too. I mean, when he landed, when he came back after walking on the moon, he was the most famous person that had ever lived. Everybody wanted a piece of him. He didn't want to have anything to do with any of that, right? All he wanted to do was just go to work, do his job, and spend time with his family.
Yeah, and that's why they picked him. You know, there would him being the first one out wasn't just, oh, you made it to the door first before Buzz Aldrin. It was a plan, right? And they had to choose, who do we pick? Who's the first guy? Buzz Aldrin, I think, you know, tried to make it him, but they picked Neil Armstrong because he was never going to put his face on a T-shirt, never going to have, like, a fast food joint that's named after him. He's never going to sell out. And I think that Neil Armstrong, you know, when we teach our kids about him, it goes back to when he's 8 years old. When he's 8 years old, his big dream was to climb this giant silver maple tree in his backyard, the biggest tree there. And when you climb a tree, when you're a kid, it's like a puzzle, right? You got to grab one branch and then the other. You got to engineer a solution. And Neil Armstrong grabs a dead branch one day, and he falls out of the tree. He plummets on his back 15 feet down, smashes onto his back. His mother and sister come running. And the most important thing that Neil Armstrong does that day, it's the opening of the book, but he gets back up again. And he gets a job mowing grass in a cemetery. He saves money so he can buy toy planes. Then he buys real planes. He wants to get a pilot license. He gets his pilot license before he gets his driver's license. That's how young he was.
Wow.
Then he becomes a test pilot, becomes an astronaut. And we all today celebrate that giant leap that Neil Armstrong took for all mankind. But we need to teach our kids, you don't get to take the giant leap until you take the thousands of small steps to get there. It's that hard work that's so vital. Our kids want to be Instagram famous and everything comes to them. But I Am Neil Armstrong as a children's book is about no, you take the hard work first, then you take the giant leap.
That is one of the that was put so well, Brad, and that's a message that everybody needs to hear because there's a generation of kids, maybe two generation of kids, I feel like are growing up right now and their goal is to, quote, be famous, end quote. That's it. That's the extent of what they want to be with no idea and no plan how much hard work it takes to be good enough at something that you will be famous.
No, and there's a Harvard study that just came out, and this is sad, but it's true. They said the number one thing that we're teaching our kids today, we used to teach our kids, you know, hard work and be humble and all those things, but because kids are so focused on social media, the number one thing they're focused on are their likes. How many people are liking their things? And so what we're teaching them, whether we like it or not, is popularity is what's important. And to me, this whole series of books is all about battling that and teaching kids that's not the end goal. You know, one of the things I love about Neil Armstrong is when he's on the moon, he's trying to land on the moon. We have on our phones more computing power than he had on the Apollo rockets. The technology is just not there, right? And think about that a moment, right? The technology is not there. They can't see where they're going. They've overshot the landing. There's all these moon rocks that are there that are the size of cars. They have a minute of fuel left to go. 1 minute. And the only thing that Neil Armstrong has that he's using to land the thing is a stopwatch and math. Let me tell you something. If I had to use math, that's my death. Right? But I Am Neil Armstrong, you know, stands for that idea of, like, in that moment, you stay calm. That hard work will pay off. And that calm will lead you to victory. And again, if you don't teach your kids that, your kids are going to pick heroes. You might as well have some say in it and give them a good one.
Have Absolutely. You ever, in researching the people that you think this is going to make a good book, you start researching, then you're like, ugh, this person's an ass. Move on to the next one.
You know, I did. I found one. I'll tell you offline who it was. But I was researching her. I was like, she's a fashion icon. She's amazing. I love her. She's going to be great. What a good one to do. And then she's like a Nazi sympathizer. And I was like, what? I'm going to leave. I don't really want to do the Nazi page in the IM series.
Was it Audrey Hepburn?
No, it's Coco Chanel.
No, Audrey Hepburn's amazing.
It's Coco Chanel, right?
Is a gold star. Audrey Hepburn surpasses all your expectations.
It's Coco Chanel, right? Coco Chanel? Is it Coco Chanel?
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Hey, Brad, Kevin is sick of me talking about Neil Armstrong because he's in my top three humans of all time that ever lived. When I read the first man book that the movie is based on by author James Hansen a few years ago, I thought it was the greatest biography I had ever read, and I learned so much about how many close calls Neil had before he ever got to fly to the moon, where he easily could have been killed. And like you were talking about, that calmness that he had. The dude had like ice water running through his veins. It's unbelievable how strong and how focused he was.
Oh, and we show in the kids' book. I was like, we got to show this. Kids need to see you don't just get that giant leap and succeed. He's on a test pilot flight, and the plane is going down in flames. He's never learned how to do the ejector seat parachute. He doesn't know how it works, but he stays calm and he figures it out. Then he's in the Gemini 8, the first docking of two spacecraft in outer space, and there's a short circuit of a fuse, and everyone's cheering, but all of a sudden the ship starts going end over end, and it's tumbling toward the Earth. When I'm tumbling toward the Earth, I'm crapping my pants. Right? And Neil Armstrong, again, stays totally calm. And that story I told you about him landing on the moon, when they're like, oh, we overshot our landing, we got a minute of fuel left, stays calm. And over we hit that part in the book, because our kids need to see that that calm doesn't come from just being a cool guy. It, again, comes from that hard work and that humility of just, you know, put your head down, do the work. Then you get the celebration. That's how you get the verified check mark, not because you're famous.
I'm sorry, Ellie, go ahead.
I was going to say, I told Brad yesterday that this topic of Neil Armstrong is how I felt when he did the book I Am Jim Henson. I knew this bean would be losing his mind about this.
I'm bursting right now. what are you hearing about the movie, Brad? Good things?
So here's the thing. There's obviously all the controversy of, you know, oh my gosh, they didn't show the flag. Like, no one's seen the movie. The flag, according to Neil Armstrong's sons, is prominently displayed in it. And I got to say, everyone has a thing for Ryan Gosling. Like, he just has that kind of old 50s thing going that I can't wait for. Personally, I can't wait for the movie. I know people, we love controversies today, but in honor of Neil Armstrong, I think we need to take a breath, be a little calm, and let's see it before we judge it. I mean, these guys did an amazing job.
You want us to wait and see it before we judge it?
I know it's a crazy idea.
That's insane.
I know it's insane.
And as you mentioned, the flag is in the movie. They just didn't show him putting the flag on the moon, just like they didn't show the astronauts talking to Richard Nixon. It's not a movie about the Apollo mission. It's a movie about Neil Armstrong. So,
by the way, can I share with you my great flag story? This just happened. It's a banana story. So, you know, I talked to you guys. We helped find the flag from 9/11, yesterday, the anniversary of 9/11. We helped find, with our TV show, the missing flag that the firefighters raised at Ground Zero in the famous photograph. We helped bring the flag back, the TV show. We got it returned, and it's in the 9/11 museum. Yesterday, I'm leaving for the book tour for I Am Neil Armstrong. I'm an hour away from leaving for the airport. My son comes home from school. And he says, Dad, look what my homework assignment is. And it's an article about finding the flag from 9/11, and they have to write their feelings on it. And the best part is, my son says to me proudly, they don't even mention you in the story, Dad. It just says a TV show found it. I'm like, and I said, son, you are going to win homework. You're going to crack this thing.
They should ban your son from this.
It was so great. It's like, I put it on Twitter, and at 6 o'clock this morning, I get an email from the teacher that says, I'm so sorry, I didn't know that was you. Isn't that great? And I was like, no. This story is, it's going to be the, I'm going to tell this story forever. Thank you. But we're going to crush show and tell.
Time to practice a little of that humility you were telling us about, Brad, I think. Right? He is a number one New York Times bestselling author in many categories. This series is essential. We hear from parents all the time after your appearances, Brad. They're so grateful we have you on, and they love this series. The new one is called I Am Neil Armstrong. It is available now wherever you get your books.
Oh, and if I can tell you one other thing I forgot that's out there.
Jesus Christ, Brad, we're busy. We got a busy show here.
Is with Neil Armstrong is the Strong Girls gift set. So it's I'm Amelia Earhart, Sacagawea, Jane Goodall, and Harriet Tubman. $60 of books for $30 on Amazon. The Strong Girls gift set comes today, too.
All right. Awesome. That's a good deal. All right, Brad, we'll catch up again soon, man. Let us know when you're back in town. We can have another cake. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, man.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in. Don't forget, we got more tickets for you for Disneyland Resort. It's Halloween time, 9 o'clock this morning. Win a 4-pack so you and the family can enjoy the Magic Kingdom for free. We need to revisit a story that Allie brought us yesterday. Tell us about Nicole from last night, and then we're going to get into the extraordinary lengths you went to track somebody down. for love, right? That's what we're talking about. It's for romance, right?
Absolutely.
Not because they owed you money or something like that. Right. Okay, yeah. You were smitten and you went to what lengths to track somebody down? Tell us about this young Canadian man.
Well, there's a guy named Carlos. He met a girl named Nicole at a campus bar and only knew three things about her. Her name's Nicole. She was from Holland and she was attending the University of Calgary. He got her number. Turned out it was the wrong number. He was not going to be dissuaded
all right.
from... Well,
so I'd just like to say, at that point, I realize I've been rejected.
Yes.
And you move on.
That's what you would do. That is not what Carlos did.
Kevin sounds like a man who's been handed a lot of phone numbers that turned out to not be accurate.
I'm saying, if they give you a number and it's not, then it's just a straight message, hey, don't want to talk to you.
For me, my pride would kick in and I'd be like, F that guy, I hope he's dead. But instead, Carlos decided that he would go to the University of Calgary's email list, find all the Nicoles on there, apparently 246 of them. That includes students, faculty, staff. He emailed all of them in search of this Nicole.
I hope they all replied all.
I hope so, too. Apparently, the email didn't reach this girl named Nicole, but it started this whole frenzy on the campus. They started a Facebook group called Nicole's from Last Night. All these Nicoles had meetups. They met each other. They became friends. Some of them even had job offers for other Nicoles. Like, it was just a real bonding moment for Nicoles, not so much for Carlos, because he didn't find her through the emails. Mm. But somebody added her to the Facebook group. Turned out she hadn't memorized her Canadian number, and she didn't yet have a University of Calgary email address because she was on exchange. Yeah, they've been chatting. They're going to get together. Would you, if they then found you because this made national news, would you be like, no, I gave him the wrong number? You'd look like an a-hole.
Oh, yes.
You would then say,
I didn't memorize it.
Yeah. I'm okay. From Holland. Yeah.
We can't memorize seven numbers.
We don't do that.
So they're going to get together. So in other words, he went to an extraordinary effort to find her, and he did.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you guys were saying off the air, what's that fine line between just being, being creative and being stalkerish?
Right. I mean, there is a fine line there.
I don't think this guy went too far.
I don't either, depending on the Nicole that he was going after.
Yeah.
But I mean, all he did was email.
Right, but we don't know the intimate details of, like, what their conversation was, what the body language was. Maybe she was way
It could have all been in his head.
Yes.
He felt this amazing connection. She gave him a wrong number.
But we don't know.
We don't know.
So it is possible that it was love.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to get married. I want this to be their story to tell their kids. I really do.
Okay.
I think it's a beautiful story.
All right.
See, this is the thing. You guys forget how much I love love.
That's
the difference between me and you guys.
That's true.
All right, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to know the lengths that you went to find somebody. You met them, then lost track of them, and then did what? What was your next step? Should I tell my story real quick?
Sure.
Yes, please.
Okay, real quick, because I don't even know that Allie ever heard this story. Many, many, many years ago, in the early days of this show, we had a visitor during the broadcast whose name was Donna.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, talk about being smitten, it was love at first sight for me and Donna. And I even said to Kevin, after she left, I said, I just met the girl I'm going to marry.
Oh,
he said that.
Man.
Said it that day. Well, I didn't get her phone number and had no way to get back in touch with her. And I kept hoping that she would get back in touch with me, but apparently she was not nearly as impressed with me as I was with her. I'm sure she'd forgotten about me before she got to her car out on the street. So my last-ditch effort was, as we went away for the weekend, at the end of that week, when I still hadn't heard from her, we do those little broadcasts, those little promo announcements that say, hey, coming up Monday on the Kevin Amin Show, I just slipped in on one of those that ran all weekend.
Oh, you didn't slip it in. You were like, hey, I need to find a girl. Let me talk about this for 25 minutes.
Hey, and that Donna that visited, could you please get in touch? I don't have your number, or something like that. And she heard it on the Sunday night of the weekend, one of the last times it played, she heard it, that happened.
I don't
know who she was with at the time, Kevin, but she heard the announcement and got in touch, called the next day and said, were you looking for me for some reason? And I said, yes, let's go out.
Did you say it like that, though? Because
I hope not. I agreed. So now, does that count as going to extraordinary lengths to try to find somebody?
I would think so. Yeah, using what you got. That's impressive. Yeah.
And is it slightly stalkerish at all, or was it appropriate for the conversation that she and I had?
I don't think it was stalkerish, but it depends 100% on what you did the next week.
Yeah.
If she didn't respond, then you let it go.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So you never had to find out whether you were stalkerish or not.
Right. Well, we did get married 5 months later and still are. So at least it did work out in our case. So this is the kind of story that we're looking for. What did you do to try to track down that special someone? 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right. Just before the song, let's take one call. Let's make it John from Orange. Hi, John.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Talking about extraordinary lengths you went to find somebody that you thought there might be romance with. What's your story?
Okay, first off, I have to tell you, this girl looks like Blake Lively before Blake Lively was around.
Okay.
All right.
Gorgeous.
So we understand your motivation.
Yes. So you understand my motivation.
Yep.
We met in Spain, had a whirlwind romance, 2 weeks. We spent there. This is before cell phones were very prominent.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me her address so that we could write. I had given her my necklace, and I said, I'm going to come for this necklace. We both got back.
Holy crap.
No, he means literally he'll find her for the necklace.
Oh, okay. My bad.
No, yeah, that's, you know, it was like a token.
Right.
So I came 8 months later, like, some stuff happened, you know, like I completely forgot about her until I started thinking about her one day and drove up.
All right.
To San Francisco.
Listen, we don't have... Look,
it sounds like he was just getting to the part, though. He's
not getting to the part. There's no part.
He drove up, and then her boyfriend answered the door.
Oh, dear Lord.
And he's like, I'm here for my pearl necklace.
And so is she. I'm sorry about that, folks. I guess I'm glad after John's call that all the rest of the calls are ladies. I don't think I have it in me for another dude. I think John ruined the dudes for me. We're talking about you met somebody and then you lost track of them. What did you do to find that person again? You didn't have an email or a phone number. You had to go to extraordinary lengths. That's the topic here. Rachel, you hang on. We are going to get to you. Julie as well. Let's start with Lorena, though. North Hills, line 8, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lorena, thank you for calling and holding on. What's going on?
Okay, well, I had my cousin contact a private investigator that she knew to find my ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
And
to find your ex-boyfriend?
An ex-boyfriend, yes.
So you guys had lost touch and you had no way to get in touch with him. So you hired, not only had they lost touch, you had no way to get in touch with him.
Right,
so you hired a private investigator?
Well, it was a favor. My cousin knew him. She was friends with him. And so he just looked him up in 2 minutes. I had his phone number and I gave him a call.
And you've been what with him now?
16 years.
16 years they've been married.
Wow.
That was money well spent.
Wow.
How about that? Okay. Happy ending.
Free. So
even better.
Even better. All right. Thank you for the call, Lorena. Appreciate that.
I'd like that guy's number.
Right.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? Because the ex-boyfriend, who knew if the ex-boyfriend was even thinking about Lorena or even wishing they were still together or whatever, but it worked out. All right. Let's go to Rachel. She's in Huntington Beach, line 4, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Rachel, our internet friend. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you. Good.
Well, you know what we're talking about. It sounds like you went a little stalkerish on somebody.
Yes. It was a guy I met in high school at band camp, and I didn't get his number. So I looked through literally hundreds of MySpace profiles to try and find him, like friends of friends, and just like spending my days looking on MySpace.
How many days would you guess?
It was a couple of days.
Okay. She went through hundreds of profiles looking for this guy.
Right.
All right. Yes. And?
I ended up finding him, and I tried to play it off like, oh, this is so weird. You just kind of popped up, and I found you. That's funny. And I don't think he believed me, but we talked for a while and then he ended up just being a big dick and we didn't talk anymore.
Did you at least start off the comment with this one time at band camp?
No, we heard that a lot.
All right.
Oh.
Sick burn. Sorry.
Voted. Voted. All right. Thank you, Rachel. Let's try Julie, line 7, please. Calling us out in Riverside. Hey, Julie, what's going on?
Hi. Hey. So, have a story about lengths I went to find someone.
Okay.
Met a guy at Starbucks, and we ran into each other occasionally. Only knew his first name and a couple of jobs that he had and where he currently worked. So over the course of 3 months, I was able to find him on LinkedIn. I found his last name, and then I sent emails to all of the variations of, like, corporate email addresses for the company that he had currently worked for.
Wow.
And one of them went through, and about 5 minutes later, he replied, and he was married at the time. No longer married, but we're still together 4 years later. So,
how about that?
Wow.
How about that?
Impressive.
That has to be, for the most part, unless, you know, we cross over into stalker territory, that has to be very flattering when you find out what somebody went through to try to track you down.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I think he was pretty flattered. And, yeah, it took a while to convince him that it was okay to go to lunch, and they're not.
Oh.
It was kind of...
Okay. Now we're going straight south. Right. Sorry.
Now it's getting weird.
All right, now we're going right into soccer land. Stop it.
Julie, thank you for the call. Allie, it sounds like that's what your next move should be, is to get a little closer to stalker land.
No problem.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Your 4-pack of passes to the Disneyland Resort to check out Halloween Time coming up in 5 minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 9 o'clock every morning this week, we got them for you. Hey, Allie, what's up?
Hey, Bean. Well, the DC Cinematic Universe appears to be losing its Man of Steel. Henry Cavill, who's played Superman in 3 films, is parting ways with Warner Brothers. This is a court. Yes, sad bassoon indeed. This is according to the Hollywood Reporter. As of this printing, neither side is confirming, but Warner had been trying to enlist Henry Cavill to do a cameo as Superman in Shazam, which stars Zachary Levi,
right,
coming out April 5th.
Which looks great.
But contract talks between his reps and Warner's broke down, and now it looks like the door is closing on other potential Superman appearances. And that's for a couple different reasons. The studio has shifted its focus to a Supergirl movie, so it's going to be the origin story of her. So there's no need for old Superman. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah.
So he'd be out of that one. And Warner's isn't likely to do a solo Superman film for at least several years. So I guess they're looking at it. Well, if he can't do this in Shazam, we might as well cut him loose now.
Yeah. So we're all thinking the same thing, DJ Qualls?
I think we are.
Okay.
I think
perfect
we
choice.
Absolutely are. All right. A Warner source, though, says the whole Shazam deal fell apart because of scheduling conflicts. So don't read too much into it.
I think Henry Cavill will be fine. He certainly, you know, impressed a lot of people with Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be all right.
Sure.
Yeah, he'll be fine. But will we? I mean,
yes, we'll
okay,
be fine
we
as well.
Will too. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So if you were listening to the show yesterday, Kevin and I were pretty pumped that Bruno Mars was going to be portraying Prince in a new movie that was going to be airing on Netflix.
Seems like a good choice and a tough casting gig.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
It would be very hard to cast
what
that.
What about DJ Qualls?
He's going to be very
he's
busy
Superman.
As Superman.
Right. Oh, right. That's right.
Well, story came out today that a representative for Bruno Mars says that that story is 100% false.
Oh.
He was never asked, never lined up to play him.
Well, why are you lying to us?
Netflix says there's no film in development. But, again, Conspiracy Alley.
Why are you lying to us?
Conspiracy Alley uh-huh. thinks someone in Bruno Mars' camp put this story out. And then they probably contacted Netflix, and they're like, where would anyone have gotten this story? And Netflix is like, I don't know, Bruno Mars's people. Crazy, right? And yeah, it is Netflix people. Then Netflix is like, but
I might mean, work.
He'd be great. And then Bruno Mars's people are like, you know what? He would. Let's chat. Asshole.
So he made it
Boom.
Happen when out
that's,
of nothing.
That's what I'm hoping happens.
I'd like to say then that I am not interested in playing Superman. Thank you, though.
Wait, what?
Just putting it out there. I'm just
okay.
going to try and make something
okay.
happen. It's
right.
an available role.
Oh, my, the hotline's ringing.
Yeah.
Look how quick that happened. Goodness. But Bean got his happies right then because he hates Bruno Mars.
I mean, I guess
it makes no
I guess
sense.
I could just not watch it if he made it, I suppose. It's possible. But I just hate to see bad, you know, excuse me, good things happen to Bruno Mars, that's all.
Seems great.
Yep. Puts out music people like.
Sure.
Great dancer.
Sure.
Fabulous entertainer. If you've ever seen him live, he puts on a hell of a show. By all accounts, nice dude. Right?
That he's friends with Josh Gad, too.
I like him.
Again.
Same with Josh Gad.
Same with
like
Josh
him.
Gad. Great actor.
Right.
Couldn't be funnier, more charming when he comes on the show. All of a sudden, he decided one day, talking about being here, that he just didn't like Josh Gad. I mean, granted, he is a Miami Dolphins fan. I can see that. But that didn't even enter into your feelings.
But when we ask why, he never has an answer.
No, I do have an answer.
All right,
we've explained this before. Look, I don't want to get off topic here. Right. We were talking about Prince. Right. But
Bruno Mars, then.
Well, Bruno Mars, you know why I hate him.
Just because you think he's done nothing creative.
It's like watching a tribute act. He's never had an original musical moment in his life.
I think some of his songs that could be categorized that way, but not all of them.
Okay.
I think he has some good songs.
All right.
24 Karat Gold, not one of them.
24 Karat Magic.
Magic, whatever. I don't care.
Big fan?
Nope. Not of that song.
Put your pinky rings up to the moon. I love that song.
No, ma'am.
You want me to sing the whole thing?
Yep. Yes.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Jennifer Hudson, Emmy Rossum, Ruben Studdard, Yao Ming, Neil Peart, and Ben McKenzie. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Hey, just ahead of Allie's last look at what's happening here on the show, I want to read this email from a listener named Colleen. You know, we had our author friend Brad Meltzer on earlier today.
Yep, he's the best.
He's got this wonderful series of books about people that your son or daughter can look up to. True heroes in the world. And his new one is just out this week called I Am Neil Armstrong. And that's what we were on talking about. So she sent a letter to Brad and also to us. Brad, I am moved to tears listening to you on K-Rock this morning. I'm not exaggerating. We have every I Am book in the series, and we received I Am Neil Armstrong yesterday since we had pre-ordered it. We read it last night, and as I loaded my two boys into the car this morning to head off to school, you were on the air with Kevin and Bean. My boys are in desperate need of smart, capable Ben who stay calm, who are smart, and use the word we. You can imagine I don't ever get a quiet car ride with an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, but they listen to your every word on the radio. Thank you doesn't even come close to how we feel about your books. And as the mom who spearheaded a library makeover for her school, I bought your books and introduced them to our students. We only have 4, but they line up until a new one arrives. They're always checked out, and they always ask for the new ones. You're making a difference in giving these kids something to think about other than Instagram and Facebook.
That's awesome.
Wow.
How about that?
That's really awesome.
So Brad's book really making a difference in that family and in that community's life. Thank you, Colleen,
and
for sharing
that
with
us. And she is
as
well by taking it to school.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's very cool. And we can't recommend that series more highly. If you've got little ones in your life, they will definitely benefit from them. So check it out. Brad Meltzer is the author's name. All right. Allie's here with our final look. Take it home.
I mean, but Colleen, you're listening to Kevin and Bean with your kids in the car. I feel like we're glossing over that.
That's a bad choice from the beginning. You got lucky this time.
This time, yeah. Yes. But how nice is that?
That's
a quiet
sweet.
Car ride because they're so enamored with Paul Meltzer.
With
which
an author,
are.
Yeah.
Yes. It's crazy. We live in crazy times.
I mean, they could have turned on it. We could have been doing some sort of vagina topic, you know? I mean, there's no way to tell. So.
Well, if they're listening right now, they might want to turn this down.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys remember when Jane Fonda was promoting her movie Book Club, it came out in an interview that she loves porn. Just loves it. And she said, you know, I'm 80, even though I've essentially closed up shop down there, still into porn. That's what she said. And I was like,
that's interesting because she seems very healthy and vital. And
yes.
She looks like she's in great shape, very pretty lady. I'm surprised she's closing up shop.
Take it easy, dude.
I think she was probably just saying that. I'm sure if, you know, the right person came along.
Okay.
Candy shop reopens for a bit. You know what I'm saying?
Understood.
But I thought when I had heard that, she's 80 talking about porn and sex, and it's not something you really ever heard about way back when. Like, you never thought of anybody over the age, at least for me, you know, your grandparents' age, they're not having sex. It's disgusting.
That's
they
ridiculous.
Stopped that a long time ago.
She got the package. Intelligence, sense of humor, and vagina!
All right.
so hopefully they're not listening. Well, enter Paul McCartney, who did an interview with GQ magazine. And I have to hand it to the author. He did say at the beginning, I want to get some stories from Paul that we haven't heard. We feel like we've heard every Beatles story before, rehashed so many times. So he was kind of trying to find something different. And I feel like he got more than he bargained for. Because Paul McCartney detailed some interesting sex stories from his days with the Beatles, including a group masturbation session with John Lennon. Here's the quote. What it was over at John's house, and it was just a group of us. And instead of just getting roaring drunk and partying, we're all just there in these chairs. The lights were out, and somebody started masturbating. So we all did. He goes on to say, you know, just they would yell out different women's names and, quote, then everyone would thrash a bit more. And I thought, this is something that a 76-year-old man is talking about. Times
have tried masturbating. It's very relaxing and it's not fattening.
Times have really changed. This is just something people are just talking about.
How did we also not find out that kind of fact about the Beatles? And how long has it been? 50 years? 60 years?
Well, John's not talking, so...
I'm aware of that.
It sounds like this was like 55 years ago or something.
Right.
So wait,
Not come out?
So when you say when they're helping each other out, so somebody would yell out,
yeah.
Bridget Bardot!
Exactly the name yelled out.
Oh, really?
We were just, Bridget Bardot, woo! And then everyone would thrash a bit more, is the exact quote.
That's a weird party right there, right?
That is something.
Who all was involved besides Paul and John, or was it just the two of them?
He said it was a group of people. So we just know of him and John. But, all right. I mean, okay.
Did we need that?
I don't know if we did.
Too much information, this man.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Oh, we didn't need it.
He's been waiting for a spot to play that. And that was pretty well done.
Okay, all right. Yep. So, director Paul Feig has been doing press for his movie A Simple Favor, by the way, which looks amazing, with Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively, Henry Golding. Looks fantastic.
I'm sorry, I watched it, but I fell asleep.
Again, you didn't because it's not even out yet, so you haven't seen it. But he shared some sad news for fans of the movie Bridesmaids. A long-rumored sequel is probably not going to happen. Such a bummer. Yeah, he told Variety, I don't know if there will be one, honestly. The movie works so well because it was about a woman having a crisis in her life and fixing it. So you don't want her to have another crisis.
Well, have a different woman.
No. Instead of Kristen Wiig?
Yeah, good point.
You get out of my life.
Okay.
You get in the ground.
All right. I think you asked him to get in.
Can't Kristen Wiig now go to somebody else's wedding, though, who's having a crisis?
Well, it was Kristen Wiig having the crisis, and then it was Maya Rudolph who was getting married.
Okay, I'm just saying, just rotate. Pick somebody else. That's
You
all.
Can't just pick somebody else other than Kristen Wiig.
Then have Kristen Wiig be the bride this time, and have the crises be on the bridesmaids. You see what I'm saying? There's a way to reconfigure these same people and make a movie if you want to.
Listen, all I know is the scene where they are trying on wedding gowns and bridesmaids' gowns, and they are all hit with food poisoning at the same time. You cannot replicate a scene as strong.
Nor should you.
And relatable as that. She pooped in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
I might watch it today just for that scene.
The fear.
The fear.
It's real. It is real, you guys. I don't know what to do with this news, but people were freaking out yesterday. Remember the whole, well, that jingle, $5 foot long
sure.
from Subway? Very catchy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the famous $5 foot long deal, instant fan favorite, introduced in 2008, may no longer be available at all locations nationwide. The CEO of Subway is allowing franchisees
to determine whether they're going to continue it or not. So he said basically it's not economically viable in 2018, depending on where you live.
Right.
So, like, let's say in Los Angeles, there's a very different cost of business than at an Arkansas
subway. Yeah, that makes
subway.
Sense.
So it makes sense.
Yeah, I've been reading about this for a long time. The subway franchise owners have been required.
I'm sorry.
Well, this has been bubbling. I mean, this has been coming for a while.
How long have you been reading about this?
It has been. This has been on the. This has been talked about for a year. But my point is that the subway franchisees had to offer the $5 mm-hmm. subway, and some of them are like, "Look, every time somebody comes in and buys one, I lose money on it.
Right,
and it's not fair." So I guess they got to the point where there were enough of them complaining about it that they had to make this. They'll just bump it. They'll just make it a $6 sub, right?
Well, they tried that in 2016, and people lost their minds.
It doesn't work in the song.
No. $6 food line. It sucks. So it went back to the original $5 price in January of this year. So, I mean, they're not giving it much of a run, right?
Hmm. Is that accurate with the full year of information that you have, Bean?
Yes, that sounds about right. Okay. I'm very disturbed at how this is going to play out. Who's going to win in this case?
I just feel if you're so used to getting a $5 foot long, then you go into a store in L.A. and they're like, that'll be $7. You're like, no, it's $5. It's in the goddamn song.
I mean, if it's in the song.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. That's right. What I'm saying.
Okay.
That's science.
Listen, remember how mad everyone got at Nike?
Yeah.
Because of Colin Kaepernick?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone burning their subways because of Jared? Or everyone was just like, no, he diddles kids. Whatever. I'd like some extra lettuce.
That's a great point.
Thank you.
If you're going to burn the libtards, then you should be throwing away all the food you buy.
Yeah. Suck it, libtards.
Radiant Durf.
Some birthdays for you. Jennifer Hudson, Emmy Rossum, Ruben
Studdard.
Sorry,
who was that first one?
Oh, my bad. Jennifer Hudson.
Jay Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz!
Good work, Bugs.
Some of his best.
Right?
Yeah. Yao Ming, Neil Peart, and Ben McKenzie, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. here on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Dr. Drew, like we do on Thursdays. We have RJ Bell talking about how to make money on the NFL. And get up on this with Jensen Karp, as well as animal stories and your passes for Disneyland and the Ohana Fest. All tomorrow morning.